Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
It's Chris!
Step into Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 12 Rambles of Christmas in association with Bet365. It's number 11, the penultimate one, gentlemen.
We'll be doing rambles forever and ever, because that's what it feels like.
With logs on the fire and rambles in the tree.
People from the football ramble spying on you in your tree.
Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's right.
Jim, what do you want for Christmas?
I'm just enjoying the cabin fever.
You want, Jim, for Christmas is Marcus. Yeah. Let's be fair.
Yeah, and that's all I'm going to get.
I can fit in a stocking.
clip that out for next Christmas.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all know that in football, a big signing can get the fans going. Fans love the players who score the goals, make the tackles, win the matches and produce sublime moments of brilliance. However, more than anything, fans love loyalty and passion for the club. So today, we're talking about the club stalwart. Those players who have stayed at a club for years and years, sometimes through thick and thin, and are synonymous with a particular team. So not necessarily a one-club man, although that would certainly be a very good example of a club stalwart, but someone who you think of a club and you think that player, or you think of a player and you think, oh my goodness, they are synonymous with a club.
And I don't think it has to necessarily just be a player either. Because I think there are people behind the scenes, managers, staff, who have been there for such a long time.
Hitman.
Yeah, exactly.
Mascots.
Well, maybe. I mean, the thing is,
could be anyone.
You mean mascots in suits, not the child mascots? They can't be doing like 50.
Yeah. I mean, if Gunnosaurus moved to Watford, you know.
Yeah, that would be a shame.
Signing.
Be a shame, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. These players, though, sometimes they're of supreme quality and sometimes maybe lack a little bit of ambition. We'll come on to him later, Luke.
Andy Offord.
And others, just think to yourself that they are home birds. They maybe didn't want to move abroad or anything. And that's perfectly legitimate.
Yeah. What about players who sort of return to the club? Kind of they do three years, and then come back
I think when I was thinking about the parameters for this, to define what a club stalwart is, if we're talking about players, for me, they are stalwart when, if they do move to, basically, if they never move to another club, they're obviously one.
Yep.
If they do move, if it looks weird to see them in another kit, they're a stalwart for the kit.
It's like seeing John Terry in the Villa kit.
Weird.
Never looked quite
Good. Is it weird to see Wayne Rooney in an Everton kit?
See, that's a strange situation.
No,
it wasn't really, because it just looked like he had just been in one of those chambers and aged prematurely. And
sure. I would say it was weird to see Frank Lampard in a Manchester City kit.
100%.
Yes. Although, to call him a club stalwart Chelsea, I think you can, but he did play a significant portion of his career at West Ham.
He was there for a long time. He was at Chelsea for, I think, almost 15 years.
I suppose you would call him a club stalwart for Chelsea.
You're flipping up, so.
Yeah, because the average, if you think in real terms, the average footballer's career is something like 3 years or something, or a maximum of 10.
Sure, was it 15 years?
He's at Chelsea from 2001 to 2014 inclusive. So 14-ish, maybe I have to check, but maybe even 15 seasons.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Encompassing Chelsea's finest.
Yeah, okay. I think it would. John Terry and Frank Lampard, you would say definitely Terry.
Yeah.
Club stalwart.
But and the thing is, I think the other thing you have to add to the stalwart thing about them looking weird in a different kit is you have to get the impression they genuinely care about the club as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it isn't just, I suppose it would be hard to argue that if they'd been there for that long, they wouldn't care about the club.
Uh-huh.
But there are some players out there who aren't that bothered about football, who never build that affinity with anyone or any club or anything like that.
Definitely true.
They can't really be seen as one.
That's right. Yeah.
And Nicholas Anelka.
Well, yeah.
Perfect example.
But I suppose, you know, because you do love a journeyman as well, but I think the club stalwart is actually a bit more special, and I think it's quite rare, especially in the modern game where players move around a lot.
Yeah. It's really important.
Yeah, it is.
It's really important.
But you know what, though? I'd like to start by talking about some in which great teams were moulded around some club stalwarts. And this is quite rare because, as I say, sometimes you think of... John Terry and Frank Lampard, so there's two very successful players.
Some of the United players are 90.
There you go. So that's what I was going to start with. The famous class of 92, three of them were one club players, with Gary Neville, Paul Scholes and Ryan Giggs.
Yeah. Mm.
Does that not kind of... has the idea of players moving clubs at a higher frequency kind of tied into manager churn? And how you were allowed to sort of play in the system side for 10 years because Alex Ferguson was there for
definitely a lot of reasons for it, which makes it even rarer beast.
But I also think on that note, Pete, and to follow up on that though, I think that is part of it. But also, how dedicated and how driven and how ambitious and how hard working have you got to be to stay in that same environment for such a long amount of time, yet still continually perform? Because I don't think Ferguson would have treated those kids, those boys you've mentioned there, would be almost like second, third, fourth sons because he's already got two sons, so third, fourth, and fifth son. That's Ferguson. But I'm of no doubt if they weren't good enough, they wouldn't have been playing. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's almost the inverse of the argument I was making the other week on the concert with Lionel Messi, saying that if he really wants to push his career to the next level, he should go somewhere else. And I believe that. But I do respect also at the same time, because Lionel Messi's a Barcelona club still.
Indeed.
To continue to give yourself the drive to perform.
But he'd be different to someone like Gary Neville. So would Gary Neville have won so many trophies at another side? I mean, I'm sure he could have gone to a huge team as well, but it worked for him there. He was dedicated, very hardworking, and massive club stalwart. And we can forget sometimes, he's such a well-respected pundit, how much he was hated by other clubs.
Oh, God, yeah.
Especially Liverpool fans. I mean, he
loved it.
Yeah, he did.
Because that was the thing. Gary Neville was so committed to the club.
Yeah.
It's almost like he saw that as part of his duty. Because he's a thinker, isn't he, Gary Neville? And it's all about marginal gains for those type of players. And, you know, I guess he felt like if he could wind up the opposition with his very presence, then that was a little bit of a bonus.
Running the length of the field away from where the celebration was for the goal to mug off the away support.
Well, it's stuff like that.
What
a testament to his work on television that people invariably quite respect him for his punditry.
Exactly.
He was universally hated by anybody who wanted to.
I don't think anyone who found out that he was going to become this pundit were
relishing the idea.
No, were sort of very ambitious about how good he was going to be and how well-liked he was going to be. And you're right, it is a testament to him.
Totally.
But on the club stalwart thing, in terms of how important they are for clubs, and you talk about the United in the 90s, the whole of Liverpool's success was based on it.
Absolutely.
The whole Liverpool success was based on that boot room idea.
Yep.
And no better exponent of that than obviously Ronnie Moran, who was at Liverpool from 1952 to 1998.
I mean, that is
really something.
Player, coach, caretaker, manager, assistant to Roy Evans, famously. During his time at the club, they won an astonishing 44 trophies.
Gordon Bennett.
Yeah, and all that success. We talk about Liverpool. I mean, a week or so ago, we were talking about Liverpool Man United playing in the Premier League and the reason it's such a big game. But the reason it's such a big game, obviously, is because those two teams are the most successful teams in the country. And Liverpool's success, and when we used to do the Hall of Fame, we talked about this. Liverpool in the 50s or whatever were nowhere near Liverpool they are now.
People, Shankly
came along. But Moran was there as well.
Yep.
And the whole thing was predicated on these people who dedicated themselves to the club in its entirety. Mm. And people like Moran dedicated their entire career, and actually, in a way, their life, to the club. And that's the sort of foundations that clubs are built on. Even though these days when players move 2 or 3 years here, 2 or 3 years there,
the
whole thing, Liverpool wouldn't be able to sign a Mo Salah or a Virgil van Dijk if it wasn't for that in the first place.
I mean, it was certainly more common back in the day, wasn't it? I found some names from yesteryear. Club stalwarts that I think we may enjoy. One club men these. There was Sheffield Wednesday's Redfern Froggatt. He played in the 40s and 50s. Leeds Grenville Hare. From the 40s to the 60s he played. And Port Vale's Selwyn Wally. Nice.
How long
that's
was it
lovely.
For?
From the 50s to the 60s. I've got the exact term.
And there are some more household names as well when you look back at some of those days. But you're right,
certainly more common.
That.
Yeah,
it was much more common then for reasons given.
Yeah,
and wages as well didn't differ that much. But you're right, Luke, when you're pointing out these sometimes members of the backroom staff and so on. And that's very important because when players do move around, you know, a player who hasn't grown up in Manchester, who's perhaps from abroad or from the south of England or whatever, they may not get the Manchester derby like Gary Neville would or somebody like that. And so it is important sometimes to have people who are from that place, you know, with movement of people and so on. I think there is something in that. And and a club stalwart as well doesn't have to be a spectacular player. They can be. I mean, they've talked about Gary Neville there, but look at Ryan Giggs, who was one of the sort of the modern footballers in this country, who was a bit of a pin-up and I don't want to say Spice Boy because that was the Liverpool players, but you know what I mean?
That's certainly a celebrity.
Heartthrob celebrity, exactly. Yeah. You know, and then when you get someone like Paul Scholes, who's one of the greatest players in the club's history, didn't even have an agent.
He can't shut him up now.
Yeah, exactly.
He says more on the TV studio now than he said his entire career put together.
Yeah, but look at the great Barcelona side under Pep Guardiola. Messi, Busquets, Xavi, Iniesta, Puyol, Victor Valdes. Now, a few of them had little stints elsewhere after Barcelona, like Xavi and Qatar. But all club stalwarts, I would say, to Barcelona, and the success they had.
The success speaks for itself, but in the context of the episode we're in now, does it have less weight if it's at a club like Barcelona?
I think it does.
Because there's nowhere really else to go. Yeah. What's Busquets going to do? Busquets might conceivably get a really lucrative route to Man United or something.
But
that's it.
I'm not saying that.
Can he stick around when times are tough?
He can. Because he was there when they didn't win
the
league.
Second,
But I think with those players, the fans love them because they've kept that level of ability going for so many years, which, you know, with a club like Barcelona, they can sign anybody. They've got riches, they've got the pulling power to get anybody. Yet when it's a youth product that's come through, he's one of our own, all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, Harry Kane
probably will become one. Yeah. He probably already is one.
Fans love those players.
Actually, Raul was a funny example of that as well, because he started
great example.
Atletico's academy, and then Jesus Hill shut it all down. So Raul Madrid were like, you know, we'll have that one. Yeah. Obviously went on to be a legend. But I guess, like, this is part of the conversation, isn't it? It's, I think Jamie Carragher might have said this before, it's easy to be a one club man if you're at Liverpool or, you know, Man United
or
wherever.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely right. All right, in the second half, we'll talk more on this gentleman.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Welcome back, Teamsters. Welcome back, Club Stalwart Chat.
When I was researching this, I found a guy who worked for Goldman Sachs, the US company.
Company stalwart, yeah, is he?
From 1933 to 2003.
Jeez. Wow.
From the age of 18 to the age of 98, 80 years service.
When was the big Alfred crash? Alfred Feld. 29?
Yeah.
The crash is big 29, yeah. And wasn't the crash sort of around about 2002?
2008, wasn't it?
2008, I was there. Yeah. No, okay, so.
Yeah, but he was still there. He's still there. Well, he's there 2000. Well, he started off as an office boy, office junior post boy type guy in the 30s. So yeah, he basically
connected.
He started just after the crash, and then and then finishes before the next one. And
I can't go through that again.
He worked his way up to like an investment banker or whatever, or investment advisor or whatever. And then apparently in the last few years, he was just popping in.
How about that?
Hello, 80 years service.
I like Club Stalwarts, who are kind of Club Stalwarts, but they're just sick of it after a while. Shea Given at Newcastle's a good example, where he played with something like 50 different defenders over like 4 years, and he was like, you know what, fuck this, yeah. I'm out
would,
of
would
here.
He be a Club Stalwart for
Newcastle? Well, he played for Sunderland, he played for a couple of other clubs, but he spent his best years at Newcastle United when he was, you know, clawing Zidane goals out the air.
But best years is different. I'm not sure, and I think you're missing a trick there, because Steve Harper.
Well, Steve Harper's a very good example, yeah.
Steve Harper was at Newcastle for 20 years, and he's the club's longest serving player. I think it's a disgrace you didn't mention him.
No, but
would
I
you
do,
say
I
just like something like that about someone like Steve Harper?
I do like the idea of Shea just going, no, let Harper do this.
Yeah. Let Harper do my media appearances.
13 years he was there for, Shea Given.
Fair enough. A bit Harper, though. I mean, in 20 years, didn't quite reach 200 appearances.
Well, you would say that he possibly lacked a little bit of ambition, but, you know.
He went out on loan 6 times.
Yeah.
He did play in the Champions League, though. Mm. See, this is the funny thing with a club stalwart like him. He loved
the Newcastle in the Champions League. That's correct, Marcus.
That's right. No, but he loved the club. He didn't want to go anywhere else. And obviously, he had a little stint at the end, sitting on the bench for Sunderland. But he's now academy coach, a goalkeeping coach at Newcastle. He stayed there.
But he played from Newcastle. Steve Harper, is he a Geordie?
I think he's a Macam, like he's from Sunderland. Uh-huh. But he might be wrong on that one.
But he's certainly from that part of the country. So to stick around for so long, the thought of going elsewhere, until it was obvious that you're so old, and he thought, well, I can still earn a living for a season or two more, which is fair.
A player like Olivier Bernard, who played for like maybe 2 years, I thought he was good, but he wanted bigger wages, he went somewhere else. But he moved back to the area because he quite liked the area.
Like Mendieta.
And it was his best years, basically. So he's kind of come back and
Steve Harper's from Seaham, apparently.
Seaham. Oh,
there you go. Where your old man's from.
Where my dad's from.
Yeah. But I love that, though. He knew that he was never really going to be the number one. Had some great moments playing in the Champions League and all, but was just so dedicated to the club, would stick around.
It's got to be a pretty sweet life if you're playing for a club, either your hometown club or a club nearby, and you're earning well and you know, you're very, very comfortable. You can
see why these Jack Colback.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're right, Jim. I think it's absolutely right, because it depends on the person's ambition, right? I mean, I could sit here and say that, you know, as half jokingly, that Matt Le Tissier could have done.
There it is.
He could have done a lot more, and he could have gone on. And if he wanted to complain about not playing for England enough, perhaps he should have moved to a bigger club. That's all true. Uh-huh. But at the same time, if you're happy there and you love being there, and I mean, I saw Matt Le Tissier on the TV. It was a week or so ago after the Southampton Arsenal game where they had him pitch side. He's like a god down there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He can't go anywhere without people wanting a photo with him, getting a signed autograph and all that kind of stuff. So I do understand how seductive that can be, and that how he wants to stay at that club because he feels comfortable there. Mm. And some people also, by the way...
You've been more critical about Letizia in the past.
I have, but I'm getting older. I'm mellowing in my old age. But also, you know, some people don't feel like they can perform in their job, whatever it may be, if they're not settled domestically and they want to be close to their family. And I do get that.
It's like when Steven Gerrard was linked to Chelsea all the time. I think that would have been one where it just didn't look right in the shirt and all that.
Oh, that would have been
stuff.
Weird to
and
see Gerrard.
Yeah, again, it's that.
Came very close,
didn't he? Apparently so, but would he have been the same player? We can only speculate, but would he have given those incredible last minute, like sort of Superman style performances for Chelsea? Mm.
I mean, he won a fair few trophies at Liverpool. He didn't win the league, of course.
No, but still, I mean, you know.
Marcus, will you be open to a move to Football Weekly or not?
Certainly.
We're all ramble stalwarts if you base it on that.
Yeah, I mean, ramble until we die.
That's the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
you know, we are the Ramble. We didn't bring in Jim from the cold or myself.
We did bring Pete in from the cold.
I had to go through a series of interviews though.
Yeah. With yourself.
Which I'm still going through, I think.
Yeah. In the mirror.
Luke insists on a medical for me every 6 months. Yeah.
And well, actually,
a lot of cupping.
Yeah. Also, my boiler broke, so I came in from the cold today.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Exactly. Yeah, I was being literal.
Marcus, you did have to go ask yourself a series of questions in the mirror.
Yeah.
But you do that every morning anyway.
I've passed the test again. Oh, yeah. I've passed the challenge.
How much hair is too much hair?
Yeah. By the way, on that note, we talked about Ronnie Moran a bit earlier and the great Alfred Feld, 80 years, Goldman Sachs, man and boy. Brian Pullman was honoured at Chelsea earlier this year. Mm-hmm. He's been in the media department working on press conferences, media days, all that kind of stuff since 1968. It's his 50th anniversary. And I don't think it was Surrey, but I think, because it was only very recently, I think one of the directors of the club actually called a press conference for it and thanked him and made a bit of a fuss of him, which was a nice touch, because these people behind the scenes, if you don't do that kind of thing, no one would ever heard of them, would they?
Yeah, I love it when a club stalwart is almost bigger than the club. And when
talking about Kev the Kit Man at Pompey,
I wasn't, but I am now. I think
Terry McDermott.
when a player is so big that the club think he's really, how do we tell Francesco Totti that he's no longer required?
How do we tell Lee Trundle at Swansea that he's
But Totti, they couldn't get rid of him.
No.
Not that they, I suppose, tried, but he stayed until he was nearly 41.
Yeah.
Which I know Serie A's a little bit slow, but I mean, what a career. 1992 to 2017.
He's now a director, isn't he?
He was at Roma. Of course he's now
a
director.
And then followed up, but also, you know, Daniele De Rossi, another huge stalwart of Roma.
I mean, De Rossi, is he 35 now? I mean, it's incredible. I mean, Totti was 38 and became the Champions League oldest goalscorer.
Do they look slightly alike? Is this a given Harper thing?
They do a bit.
They sort of like start to look like
each
other.
They do a bit. Facially, they do look similar. They've always had different hair.
Yeah.
Daniele De Rossi is a bit more sort of business time. And
yeah, he's a harder brother.
Yeah, definitely.
But both very passionate in a part of the world, which is a very passionate place, very passionate country.
Yeah.
They absolutely loved it. I mean, if Totti'd have gone elsewhere. That's another thing in Italy, when they love their players, especially a club stalwart, they hate it if a player moves. I mean, Battistuta, you think of him at Fiorentina, but of course he did play with Totti at Roma when they won the league. And I was really pleased that Totti has a league title.
Well, Buffon as well at Juventus, but I mean, he played at Parma for a while as well.
He did, yeah. We're now playing at PSG. It's quite strange.
But if you had a professional football career yourself, could you see yourself staying at a club a long time, or would you want to go and sample all the treats the world's got to offer?
But that's the thing, though. It's such a fantasy question. I'd like to think, I have a stint playing in Spain.
No, but I think you'd be more itinerant because you've not really got a team that you identify with that strongly. So for you, it might be a bit easier.
Pete, be a journeyman.
There's questions. But the reason there's questions is because
Portsmouth. Say that because I think you know.
But Portsmouth aren't really that big.
No.
So I'm not going to, if I'm a good player, I'm not going to stay in League One or League Two my whole career, am
I? Sure.
I think Pete's not going to be yo-yoing around with Newcastle his whole career.
I think I'd be like Michael Owen, an England stalwart.
I have fantasies about being a Newcastle United player literally every night, I always sort of think that I would leave. Slag off Mike Ashley, because nobody ever does that.
Yeah.
Nobody ever goes from
you've got
top,
to play for Newcastle to slag off Mike
from
Ashley.
From the top down, this club has no ambition and you guys deserve better. By the way, I'm signing for Man United. See you later.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and why does nobody do that?
And then when that falls through and you want to loan both back, Mike's not having any of it. You can come back if you want, but I'm not covering any of your wages.
Yeah. Sometimes you get the false club stalwart, like Alan Smith for Leeds when he signed for Man United. I don't know, talked about this in a previous one.
But Jim, can you imagine yourself being happy at Arsenal your whole career?
Well, yeah, I reckon so, as long as I'm getting in the team.
Yeah. As long as you're one of Wenger's boys.
Yeah.
It's like an AGM for the players' union, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but I mean, obviously, later in my career, I'd accept a bit more time on the bench, you know, try and pass on some wisdom to the younger players.
Yeah,
like
it's a lovely bench.
See you doing your badges, actually.
Yeah. What do you call Sol Campbell a club stalwart?
A North London stalwart.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Imagine if he came out and said that when he moved from Spurs to Arsenal. I'm sorry, everyone. I know you're annoyed, but my loyalty is to North London.
I didn't want to disrespect North London by moving away, so I thought I would stay.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. I mean, we've got this far, and I know we're coming towards the end. I have to say two names. Paolo Maldini and Franco Baresi.
Yes. Yeah,
come on.
Of course.
Yes.
Come on. I mean, they defined an era for Milan, you know, that back four. Very successful again. I mean, Baresi played for Milan for 20 years. Maldini, 24 years at the club.
It's phenomenal.
Such a...
And also Maldini's father obviously has a huge history.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With the club as well.
I think that is an achievement. We talked about that in the first half, playing for these big clubs. And I understand, where do you move if you're at Milan or you're
I think
Barcelona.
It's harder to stay. Sorry, it's
to keep that level.
It's easier to stay
in some sense
for your position, but it's harder to maintain it. So yeah, you deserve respect in like a slightly different way, I'd say. Mm,
absolutely right. Absolutely, yeah. Right. The club store, we flipping love them.
From four stalwarts of podcasting, we salute the club stalwarts in football.
I've been podcasting for 15 years a few weeks ago.
There you go.
That's so used to do a little music podcast back in the day.
There's your stalwart.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Yeah. From Steve Harper to Pete Donaldson to Paolo Maldini.
His loyalty is to podcasting.
Absolutely right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the 11th instalment of the 12 Rambles of Christmas.
One more to go.
In association with Bed365. We're back tomorrow with our last one of the 12 Rambles of Christmas. Say goodbye, gentlemen.
See you later.
Bye. See you tomorrow.
Season's greetings and a happy new year.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.